Welcome to Clickbait and Switch, a marketing podcast that tries to cut through the bullshit and hook you up with what you need to know, what you don't, and what stories should be getting more love than they're getting. I'm Mark Dulisky. On the other mic is Gisella Slizer.
Hello.
On today's show, there's a new buzzword, e-tail. Facebook freaks out. And have you heard about this thing called audio content? You have, because you're listening to it right now. So welcome to 2021. Couple things we didn't mention in the crystal ball episode that I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about in 2021 is regulations. Basically, that's how 2020 was ending before the continuing disruption of pandemic and chaos gripped all of our collective imaginations over the past couple weeks. So laws and regulations around data management and digital business practices are going to be huge this year. Here in Canada, we have Canadian content modifications that are coming through. In the US, you basically have the government suing your big tech companies, all of your favorites. The EU is proposing new strict rules that would govern the way that big tech operates within their region. You have Apple taking on the world with App Store fees, the current feud with Facebook around user data. You've got Facebook really mad at Apple, which we will get to. Then you've got the Center for Humane Technology tapping into the general public's sentiment of just chaos and paranoia with the social dilemma on Netflix. All of that is going to continue in 2021. And so will our first click. Let's talk about e-tail. So if you couldn't figure out what e-tail stands for, it's electronic retail. So the whole online shopping, you know, that became the way of life in 2020 in its entirety. This is basically, you know, how Internet of Things was a fancy way of saying anything that uses the internet. So e-tail is retail on the internet. Very important. But we saw this evolve, Gisella.
We have. We all experienced Boxing Day and Boxing Week online this year.
Boxing Month.
Since April, we've been shopping for the holidays. But that said, during the holiday period, Walmart, out of all people out there in the world, teamed up with TikTok. Remember, Walmart tried to kind of buy TikTok in the US. That didn't go through. So they ended up just teaming up for a virtual runway that they call the Holiday Shop-Along Spectacular. So what they did is partner with young influencers on the platform who use their own language and their own ways to choose their favorite items on Walmart online. They show them off on TikTok and you can still shop them online. So that was one thing, one kind of new thing. Interesting because Walmart is trying to stay relevant, right? And tap into the younger audience, new social media. So yeah, trying to kind of stay in the game. And we also saw Bitmoji characters that now allow you to basically play dress up. For those of you who don't know what a Bitmoji is, don't be ashamed. It's okay. It's basically a 3D emoji of yourself that you can build, like an animation emoji of yourself that you can create using the Bitmoji app, which is owned by Snapchat. I think you can also create one on Snap directly on the platform. Now you'll be able to dress them with a variety of clothes from different retailers and brands online. So it's a new way to kind of gamify trying on new clothes.
But I guess you'd have to be really accurate with how you depict your Bitmoji. Like, I feel like Bitmojis are everyone's like super sexy kind of Simpsons version of themselves. Whereas like if you're slightly portly or slightly wrinkly, like you'd almost have to like, oh, would I look really good in this sweater?
I don't know. Maybe that's what you use Bitmojis for, but I'm pretty accurate with my Bitmoji, I think. But yeah, no, I think it's super interesting. And Snapchat also came out with a new kind of AR filter with the new iPhone 12, where it's also responds to the environment. So really this idea of trying things on and even trying things on in an environment is getting more and more and more a part of e-tail. We saw IKEA do something similar with an app where you can test things out and how they will look in your home in like real size. Now this new feature, this new filter from Snap, for example, in the example, you can see glitter falling on someone and it kind of falls all over their body and then they leave the scene and the glitter continues to fall. So it's really real. We'll put a link to that on our newsletter, by the way. You can sign up in the show notes.
So this is kind of like the digital version of when Lululemon bought Mirror, right? Because that was supposed to be the in-store version where you can try things on without having to try them on. But this is now just doing it on your phone.
Mark, you're opening a whole new kind of worms because that's more sophisticated e-tail. So Lululemon was one of the first, if not the first, to reinvent the retail environment and what it does, blending in the studio with shopping. So now blending in e-tail with fitness at home within a community through the mirror. So yeah, totally an extension of this new e-tail idea, but in a whole other level.
All right, let's move on to something that we find a little baity this week. And this is where you're going to play a little solo ball. So Facebook has gotten a little belligerent and is trying to get small businesses and marketers at large to hate Apple. So I'm just going to clear out the floor and let you operate here.
I am outraged at what's going on, Mark. I'm going to try to unpack it. Back in June, Apple unveiled new privacy and data user policies applicable to all apps in the store. These are known as App Tracking Transparency Framework, or even nutritional labels in the App Store. So that gives you a hint of what they intend to do. Basically, what this means is that all developers will have to, in their app descriptions and in their apps, outline what their privacy practice is. And if they use data for third-party actions, describe what data they are collecting, how the data may be used, and whether the data is used to track users. So examples of how third-party data can be used is advertising and retargeting ads and location sharing so that you could be targeted based on your location and even the way we track results for ads.
So in the best case scenario, all of that is done to help you get things that are relevant to you at certain times. And in its worst case, it's just absolutely abuse and targeting you with stuff nonstop.
Yes, but the big deal here is that most people don't know this is happening. I mean, some people know and understand it, but especially younger generations, they may not understand that this is happening and why. Why they happen to be seeing an ad for this store when they happen to be close by, walking by. Maybe they thought it was fake, but actually it was advertising data. So with these new policies, every app will have to get user consent for the app to continue gathering this data. So in other words, apps like Facebook will have to ask users, is it okay for us to use your data and track your actions so we can sell it to advertisers? And people have the choice to say no. Of course, Facebook is freaking out because this is messing with their business model. However, that's not what they're saying. Basically, what Facebook is doing is reaching out to its database of marketers and small businesses. And we're being invited to webinars where they open by saying that the material was confidential, which I thought was kind of hilarious. And what they explain is that Apple's policy is, one, selfish because they didn't consult with the industry before making these changes. I'm sure Facebook consults with the industry all the time and its competitors before making any changes to its platform. Two, these new policies are about profit, not privacy, they say. Meanwhile, Facebook is all about wellness and not for profit, right? This is why they're complaining about their business model being challenged. And three, that they're hurting small businesses and publishers who are already struggling in the pandemic. This is such an opportunistic message. Come on. What is Facebook doing to help small businesses? Yes, they're coming out with all these features, which are all paid. It's like, come on, no shame. It's crazy. Facebook has completely politicized this matter. And it's just the approach and the tone that they're using to do this blows my mind. They created this website that is called Speak Up for Small. So it's facebook.com/business/Apple iOS 14 Speak Up for Small Business. And it really looks like a cause, like save the world. It's just crazy. At the same time, WhatsApp has updated its privacy policy right now. So you must accept to data collection in order to continue using the platform. So a lot of things are going on here. And really what we're seeing is this shift towards first party cookies that is coming, getting closer and closer to us, just wreaking havoc in the industry because apps like Facebook will have to reimagine their offer to continue to make a profit.
I mean, it's hard to have sympathy for either Facebook or Apple in this. You know, both of them are these absolute behemoths, you know, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And Facebook is obviously trying to protect its own image. Apple is doing its own thing. You know.
The tone that Facebook is taking is what's bothering me the most, I think.
All right, let's move on to the switch this week, and that is audio. So audio, obviously, another thing that we're going to hear a lot about this week, pun intended. Scott Galloway, the patron saint of the Clickbait and Switch podcast, predicts a flurry of acquisitions and podcasts getting featurized. And if you've been paying attention to that sort of space recently in the past year, there's been some huge acquisitions, Spotify being one of the main players, lining up not only Joe Rogan, but also acquiring the Ringer Podcast Network. So two massive deals for a lot of content that's giving Spotify some premium content that's only available on their platform, which is pretty fascinating. But three big things happened while we're all sort of staycationing over the holidays. Break them down for us, Gisella.
So Amazon bought Wondery. Wondery is a podcast platform that appeared back in 2016, kind of partly funded by 20th Century Studios or 20th Century Fox, as we might have known them. They have a bunch of notable podcasts that I've myself never heard of, but they seem to be famous. Perhaps you have, Mark, American History Tellers, Dirty John, and Dr. Death.
None of those are in my feed, no.
Yeah, they're not in my feed either. But anyways, now Amazon can really compete in the audio industry beyond search, right? So they can really compete with the likes of Sirius.
3XM.
Which you might have in your car, Spotify, Apple. Another cool thing that happened is that Netflix is testing out an audio-only mode on its Android app. Essentially, what this is you can turn off video and just listen to your favorite show, which is an interesting shift for Netflix that's been trying a bunch of new stuff. Like they try that Shorts feature that I now have on my phone. It's kind of cool. With previews of comedies. And then the third thing that happened is that Twitter acquired a broadcasting app called Breaker. So Twitter, basically the Breaker team will be coming into the Twitter team to help, quote unquote, improve the health of the public conversation on Twitter itself. And they're also going to be helping with a new audio-based networking project that we've been talking about in the past few episodes as well, Twitter Spaces. Another cool thing that Twitter did over the holiday is buy an agency, the Ueno agency. So that's kind of interesting that Twitter is buying all this expertise and bringing them in-house, no?
I think Twitter's going to have a big year because we all know that it's been just an absolute tire fire of human experience for the past 4 years. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go moving forward, especially with the current bans in place. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. So audio is going to be a big thing for Twitter and all other platforms. I'm sure we'll continue to see more in terms of like voice memos and how we text via voice. You know, audiobooks are still around. Voice search is getting more and more efficient, which I find interesting, especially because we're all kind of getting tired of video, right?
Yeah. Certainly been a saturation of video throughout 2020.
And yeah. I think that's a good beginning to 2021.
Yeah. Thank you to Cloudrake for providing support for our podcast, but we should state that the opinions in this and all of these episodes that we record are our own, Mark and Gisella. They are not that of our overlords at Cloudrake. So thanks to them.
And see you next week.
Bye.